Good morning and welcome to our worship service today. We follow the order of service as you find it printed in your service bulletin. Let us begin our service with prayer. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you would open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word, we may repent of our sins, believe in Jesus in life and in death, and grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Welcome to the service today in the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior and Redeemer, on this, the third Sunday of the Lenten season. Pray the Spirit of God be poured out upon us richly as we worship our Savior in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on His name, He gives the power to become the children of God and has promised them His Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications.
In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness.
Do not enter into judgment with your servant. My spirit is overwhelmed within me.
My heart within me is distressed.
Answer me speedily, O Lord.
Do not hide your face from me.
Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning.
For in you do I trust.
Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Glory be to God.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. All glory be to God on high, and thanks for all His favor. No harm can touch or terrify a child of God forever. The Father's love, the Savior's birth, bring peace, goodwill to all the earth. Oh, thank Him for His goodness.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, because you know that we of ourselves have no strength, keep us both outwardly and inwardly, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Good morning. First of our scriptures today is found recorded in Peter's first epistle. I'll make that the second epistle. We read there in chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So far the first lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Our second lesson is found written in the Gospel of John in chapter 9, selected verses.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, What do you say about him, because he opened your eyes? He said, He's a prophet. They answered and said to him, You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Here ends the second lesson.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please rise for the confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God our Father and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for consideration today is recorded in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So far the text. Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, the all-important purpose for God's Son leaving the realms of his heavenly glory and condescending to us to become one of us and live here for a while in lowliness, the principal purpose of his life, ministry, and sacrificial death was to qualify us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. And that's the hope, the aspiration. Every disciple of Jesus to attain to that bright goal of our faith, and that we might shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. But we've not arrived at heaven's brightness yet, have we? We live in a spiritually dark world, and for as long as we live in this sin-darkened world, the Savior teaches us indeed to live with deep joy in our hearts, knowing our entrance into glory is guaranteed thanks to his work. But at the same time, he teaches us to be all the more diligent to make our call and election sure, and to run with endurance the race that's set before us so as to obtain the prize. So this morning, we want to receive encouragement from God's word to do that. As we contemplate St. Paul's words in our book of Ephesians text, where the apostle provides a good description of the spiritual life journey of every child of God, indeed of all those whom God has made to be children of light. So what's the first step in our spiritual life journey? Gloomy, very dismal. Paul describes it like this: you were once darkness. Of course, he's not talking about darkness in a physical sense, kind of darkness that happens when you turn a light switch off at night, or when shadows fall over the earth when the sun goes down. That darkness can be dismal, can be very frightening. Even little ones, think about when they get tucked into bed at night, might ask dad or mom to leave the door cracked open so a little light can shine through to where they are. Grown-ups may be apprehensive of the dark, walking streets of a big city, fearing that they might get mugged during the night. Years ago, when I was going on a cave tour in Wisconsin, halfway through, our guide turned off the overhead lights for a few seconds to give us a sense of what it's like to be enveloped in total darkness. And it was very unsettling. But here in our text, Paul's speaking about a darkness that's far worse. The darkness of not knowing Jesus, the darkness of not possessing the treasures of God's grace, the darkness of not being a citizen of his kingdom of light, but having a life that's dominated by the prince of darkness and being destined to be cast into outer darkness. By way of illustration, I read about this illustration to picture this darkness of unbelievers, which is what we once were by nature. Sea captain, adrift in a rudderless ship on a tempestuous sea with no compass, on a starless night, 1,000 miles from land, having no prospect of bringing the ship safely ashore, but destined for a dark and watery grave. That's what you were once, Paul reminded the Ephesians. And that was our condition too at one time, but for the Holy Spirit's work, calling us by the gospel, enlightening us with his gifts, we were objects of God's wrath, like the rest of the unbelieving world. We were part of the devil's dark dominion, spiritually blind, dead, separated from our Father in heaven. We had no capacity or even a desire by nature to find our way out of the pitch dark cave of our heart's sinful condition and doomed to languish in hell's darkness forever. But now let's consider the next step in our spiritual life journey. Praise God that what we could not do for ourselves, he did for us. He, in love, called us out of that spiritual darkness and into his heavenly light. For the Christians of Ephesus, that miracle happened when Paul came there on his second missionary journey, preaching Jesus. When he shared with them the message of the gospel about how God's Son in love descended from his bright throne in heaven, came into a world enveloped in the pitch blackness, spiritual darkness, gave himself up for an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling aroma to obtain forgiveness for their sin and eternal life. And the Holy Spirit used that message of power to transform the Ephesians from darkness to children of light. Beautiful example of what Jesus, what he promised he's going to do. Remember the conversion of Saul story on the road to Damascus? When Jesus appeared to him, "You're persecuting me, Saul." And then Saul, he said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you for the purpose of appointing you as a servant and witness of the things you've seen and things you will yet see. And I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness for their sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." The Lord has performed that same miracle of grace for you and for me, for all Christians. For most of it, it happened in our baptism. And by the Holy Spirit, working through the water and word of holy baptism, he blessed us with faith in Christ. He delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we now have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace. How bright and comforting a truth is that, dear friends? I was reading a human interest story by way of illustration a while back about an army soldier deployed overseas. He had a little boy suffering from health problems that adversely affected his vision. And shortly after his dad was deployed, an eye doctor outfitted him with a special pair of glasses. And when his dad returned home after his 2-month stint overseas, took his son up in his arms, the boy looked up into his father's face, wearing his tiny specs, cried out, "I can see you clearly, Daddy." That's what the Heavenly Father has done for each of us. Blessed us with the ability to see him clearly with faith's eyes, and to know that because of the darkness of the sin guilt that Christ bore for us in his own body on the cross, his willingness to be forsaken by his own Father in physical darkness for those 3 hours, 12 to 3, Good Friday, his enduring the darkest depths of woe, we've been rescued from our darkness, and we are now children of light. And we're blessed now also to be able to lead others to the light. Paul shows us how here in our text. He says, "Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Paul counseled the Ephesian believers, he counsels us, to live lives that now reflect our new status as children of light, and exhorts us to put off our old self, which belongs to our former way of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, those unfruitful works of darkness, which he enumerates earlier in this letter, sexual immorality, foolish talking, bitterness, anger, moral impurity, greed, and so forth, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And when he says, "Find out what's acceptable to the Lord and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them," he is teaching us to put everything under the microscope of God's Word, to use the Bible as our guide to determine what's acceptable to our Savior God and what is not. Unlike the children of the world who have no love for the Word, they disparage it, they like to measure what's good and evil by what their sin-corrupted hearts tell them. No, you Christians, you children of light, use God's Word as your dependable guide for godly living, like a plant. You got any plants on a windowsill at home? You got to keep turning them because they go towards the sun, the sunlight. So you as children of light, keep looking to the light of Scripture for answers about what behaviors and attitudes are pleasing to your Lord. And what we discover when we do that, what pleases the Lord, are fruits of the Spirit like kindness, patience, love, gentleness, self-control, self-discipline. One illustration or a practical example of that last mentioned fruit of the Spirit, self-discipline, like on a Saturday night when you're kind of thinking what you're going to do that night, make a deliberate and purposeful decision to turn in early. Put away your computer or your smartphone. Get extra sleep so I can get alert, be alert and attentive to hearing and learning God's Word in the morning in the worship service. Just one example of self-discipline, Holy Spirit produced. And why does the Lord share so many similar exhortations like the one in our text all through the New Testament? To walk as children of light. Two more I might share, one from Colossians. Paul wrote, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men and the basic principles of the world," like the world likes to think. Another one from Ephesians chapter 4. "I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another in love." So again, why does the Lord so many of these exhortations in the New Testament? Well, because He knows we're living in a dark world that tries mightily to exert its dark influence on us and to get us to revert back to its dark ways. And He also knows, does the Lord, that we have an old Adam that would tempt us to view the vices of our godless culture as harmless and to grow weary in well-doing and to give up running with endurance the race that has been set for us and to forget, again, what's our life's main goal? To have a share in the inheritance of the saints in Jesus' kingdom of light. And thanks be to God, He's given us His Word as the standard by which we can determine what's acceptable to Him and how we may let our light shine before others for His praise and to attract others to the light of their souls, Jesus. Now, it's true, my friends, that while we live in this world, our living as children of light is going to be imperfect, like a work in progress, the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts. It's a work in progress through the Word. But it is what we always want to strive for, don't we? We want to drown our old Adam by daily contrition and repentance and let that new man daily come forth and arise that we might live before God in righteousness and purity forever, setting our hopes fully on the grace to be given to us when Jesus is revealed. Finally, the day will arrive. And you'll be confirmed in the light of holiness. The dark world we live in now will be gone. The prince of darkness will be put down. And the tug of war spiritually between our old Adam and new man will be over. And we will take possession of the inheritance of the saints in Jesus' kingdom of light, shining like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than a human mind, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
In me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord, most holy, we thank you for the love of Jesus, and that in his compassion and grace he freely gave himself as the sacrifice for our sins, presenting his perfect life as an offering for our salvation. We thank you for the finished work of our Lord, for his holy life, his blessed example, his gracious teaching, and his atoning death. Grant us the light of the Holy Spirit so that we may always be partakers of your eternal kingdom. Help us to imitate the example of Christ and to walk in his love. Grant that as children of the heavenly light, we may sincerely repent of our sins, shun the ways of darkness and error, and follow the paths of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Let your hand, O Lord, rest upon your church to defend it and make it grow. Give success to all who sow the seed of your word, proclaim the gospel of salvation, and in Christ's name minister to people's spiritual needs. Give faithfulness to your people so that we may work hard at gathering in the harvest of redeemed sinners into your kingdom. Stretch forth your mighty arm to rule and direct our government, and give wisdom and integrity to all who are in authority, so that our nation may be kept in peace, and that righteousness and justice may everywhere prevail. We pray for all who have needs of either body or soul, for our loved ones who are in distant places, for all who have strayed from your word, for all who are suffering sickness and pain, and for all who mourn. Pour down your blessings upon them according to their need. Hear their prayers. Comfort them with your presence. We ask all this, dear Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We also pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.